This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're with Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning. And coming up in about half an hour's time is the Breakfast Grill. Lin Mark will speak with Khalid Alvi, CEO of the Etika Group.
Yeah, Etika Group is actually one of the big names in the Malaysian beverage scene. They have 18 brands under its umbrella. Names like Pepsi, Wonder Coffee and Good Day Milk. Now, the question is, amid a sea of change in consumer taste towards healthier options and, of course, recently the sugar tax, how is Etika strategizing to mend maintain market share? And we're going to find out, or Lin Mark is going to find out from its CEO.
Excellent. Interesting stuff there. Now, moving on to some regional news. Singapore unveiled its eagerly anticipated budget for the fiscal year ending March 2021 yesterday in the wake of the economic upheaval caused by the COVID-19 outbreak. And Singapore's Deputy Prime Minister and Finance Minister Heng Swee Keat announced a $6.5 billion Singapore dollar stimulus.
Now, it's to support the economy and to mitigate the impact of the outbreak. 800 million Singapore dollars alone is allocated to fight and contain the coronavirus outbreak, while two economic support packages totaling 5.6 billion Singapore dollars will be provided to assist businesses and consumers.
So for more details and analysis on this budget from Singapore, joining us on the line is Khun Goh, Head of Asia Research for ANZ Bank. Good morning, Khun. Thanks for joining us. Now, Singapore announced its biggest budget deficit since 1997 at 2.1%. Was this in line with your expectations?
The budget package was actually much larger than what I had been anticipating. I was looking for a deficit of around $8 billion. The fact that it came out close to $11 billion shows how serious the government is in trying to get on top of the COVID-19 outbreak and to try and mitigate the negative effects on the economy.
And of course, the budget, like you say, right, is being closely watched. Now, how does do you think this differs in terms of its reaction versus SARS?
Well, when SARS hit in 2003, the budget response was a package of around $230 million. So this time around, in terms of sheer magnitude, it's a lot larger. It provides very comprehensive assistance and support to not only the healthcare sector of $800 million, as you indicated earlier, but $4 billion provided to support businesses to ensure that they keep their workforce so that we do not have mass retrenchments, and also $1.6 billion to support households in terms of managing increasing costs related to that. I think the amazing thing is that despite the such commitments towards addressing the current situation, the government still has enough money earmarked to continue to transform the economy and, in fact, has set aside $5 billion for climate change in terms of making sure that the government is in a position to meet the needs for climate situations in the future.
Of course, Singapore is known to be very fiscally prudent, but do you think that at this point in time, increasing the deficit perhaps is not so negative a thing because of the worldwide negative interest rates, and this would enable Singapore to actually fund some of its stimulus?
Well, it's actually the appropriate response to run a large deficit when the economy is hit with an economic shock. So long as once the economy normalizes and you set aside surpluses during the good times. And the fact that the government is able to run a large deficit in this budget is only because they have accumulated large surpluses in the previous 4 years. And so throughout this term in government, and this is the last year of this current government's term before we go to election, despite the deficit, they have still managed to accumulate a cumulative surplus, which they can then transfer to the reserves.
And what other takeaways did you glean from the budget that may have been overlooked?
Well, one of the key features of the support package to business is that a lot of this assistance is fairly immediate and short-term in nature. For example, the job support scheme will see money handed to businesses by 31st of July. So that'll definitely help in terms of managing the current downturn expected from the COVID outbreak. But the government also remains committed towards transforming the economy. So, you know, looking aside at the current urgency of the situation with the outbreak, they still remain focused in terms of making sure that the economy continues to have less reliance on foreign workers, continue to develop skills of the local workforce, and more importantly, they continue to set aside sufficient funds in order to do that.
Now, Singapore has downgraded its growth outlook of between 0.5% and 2.5% to a contraction of between a negative 0.5 and a growth of 1.5. Are these realistic figures, and does your growth forecast differ?
I think the new latest projections are quite reasonable. It's a fairly wide range, which can encompass various scenarios. There's still a lot of uncertainty, of course, in terms of how long this outbreak will last. So I think the midpoint forecast of 0.5% is reasonable, in my view. And of course, a lot will depend on how quickly the outbreak can be contained.
And since we have you on the line, I mean, Malaysia is also set to announce its own budget stimulus package next week in response to COVID-19. Do you have any expectations on that?
I think the Malaysia's budget response obviously will not be as large as Singapore, simply because the impact on the Malaysian economy will not be as large. Singapore is a lot more dependent on trade and on tourism, and it is significantly more affected by the outbreak in terms of the number of cases compared to Malaysia. So while Malaysia's package, of course, will be geared towards the needs of the economy there, in terms of the magnitude and the size, I think it will not be anywhere near what the Singapore government has unveiled yesterday.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And that was Khun Goh, Head of Asia Research for the ANZ Bank. Chow Ning, very quick response by Singapore, and a very quite a big response as well.
Well, they do have elections supposedly next year, right? And Singapore has had a history of actually having elections 1 year before the deadline. So I'm not surprised. It's quite a, I would say, rakyat-friendly budget, right?
People's budget, yeah.
People's budget. So, you know, for them, I think the focus is like what he said, making sure that there's no unemployment, no retrenchment. So that's why this $4 billion set aside to support jobs, I think that comes under the stabilization and support package. That's the term of it. So, you know, it's going to be job support schemes, wage credit schemes, corporate tax rebates, and even enterprise financing scheme, working capital loans. So lots of goodies for businesses. And on the other side, they also have for the rakyat, for the people in Singapore, they've got the care and support package to help households with their expenses during this period of uncertainty. So $1.6 billion set aside. But as Khun Goh says, you know, you have surpluses, so you can afford to fund all this.
They have a lot of money. They have like humongous mountains of money. But interesting also that Khun Goh said that Malaysia's stimulus would not be as big as Singapore. Not because Malaysia can't afford it. Maybe we can't. Maybe
well,
we
are running a fiscal deficit for the last, 10, 15 years? Long time.
But the point is that he's saying that Singapore is at the center of the whole thing.
Yeah, more vulnerable to this COVID-19.
All right, we are heading into some messages, and after that, some talk on Air Asia. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.